Hey everybody, welcome to Viewing Angles, the only movie podcast that you're listening to now, and therefore the only one in existence. My name is Dan Leo, of course, and with me as always, it's my boy.
Robert Mecki. We got some news for you today. But first, let's go over the box office, because I want to talk about the number one position, Angel Has Fallen, starring Gerard Butler.
Is this an original IP, Robert? What is Angel Has Fallen?
Angel Has Fallen is the third entry in the, I guess, Has Fallen series.
I think that's the only thing you could call it.
Right?
The Has Fallen series.
Yeah, the Fallen trilogy. And it started with Olympus Has Fallen, which was about the White House being taken over by, I think North Koreans.
I've never seen it.
It was something other than white people. That's all I remember.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
The sequel to that was London Has Fallen, in which the entire city of London is besieged by, I think, Middle Eastern terrorists. And now the third entry, Angel Has Fallen, is about Gerard Butler, who is the head of the Secret Service, being being framed for an assassination attempt on the President of the United States.
Which, like, if he has saved the president like twice already, why not kill him? That's the question.
We'll see in this movie.
Yeah,
I don't think either of us have seen this movie yet. So
no, yeah, definitely not.
But I'm definitely going to, because these movies are hilarious.
I gotta catch up. I haven't seen either of the other two.
They are Die Hard with Gerard Butler in the White House and London.
All right, Are they as good as Die Hard?
No.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be as good as Die Hard. Like, that's a high bar.
It's the high bar for action movies.
But I respect them for not trying to be anything more than what they're billed as.
Okay. Sounds like a good amount of fun.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, coming in number two is a Seth Rogen produced comedy, Good Boys, at $11 million. It's a bad box office. Just a real bad box office overall for summer studios not named Disney.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is pretty standard for this time of the year, though.
Yeah, it looks like Good Boys is actually outperformed expectations. It had doubled its budget already, so yeah. Yeah, I guess there's gonna be a good boys too. Boys to men.
Yeah, gooder boys.
Gooder boys. The best boys.
Yeah. And then number three, I don't even know what the fuck this is.
I think it's like called, a religious movie.
You know, you're probably right. But it's called Overcomer. It was made for a budget of $5 million. It made $8 million at the weekend box, or $8 million this weekend.
It's got to be a religious affiliated movie, right?
That's the only way, right? Yeah.
If it's made for $5 million and I haven't heard of it. Okay, here we go. Let's see. High school basketball coach John Harrison and his team face an uncertain future when their town's largest manufacturing plant shuts down unexpectedly. As hundreds of people move away, John reluctantly agrees to coach cross country, a sport he doesn't even like. His outlook soon changes when he meets Hannah Scott, an unlikely runner who pushes herself to the limit. Inspired by the words and prayers of a new friend, there we go, John starts to train Hannah for the biggest race of her young life.
And then they all vote for Trump and beat up Mexican people.
Yeah. Oh, man, this movie's 2 hours long. Holy crap.
What the fuck?
Yeah, this has got to be religious. Audience reviews. Overcomer is a must-see, all caps, inspirational movie about true identity and redemption. Oh, mm-hmm. Man, lots of... So, look, an inspirational movie. That's the big... That's the big takeaway I got from all this.
Yeah, inspiration and propaganda go hand in hand.
Yeah, exactly. You have to inspire the people. Oh, man, 94% of Google users like this movie. It has a 33% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm surprised it's even at a 33.
Yeah, I mean,
normally
the
Hollywood elites, the liberal coastal elites, hate these types of movies.
Yeah, you think they would have shut it down before it even got out of the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the highs, the lows, and our toss-up of the week. There's a lot of news, so we just cut through it all and just did the three big ones.
The big ones.
The high, of course, is the new trailer for Rise of Skywalker coming out of D23. Is it D23 or D23?
I think it's D23, but I don't know why.
Yeah. Is it always called that, or like was the last one called D22?
No, it's always called D23. Like, that's always their expo. Oh. I wonder if it's because that's how many like brands they own now.
Yeah. I feel like it would have to be more of them, right?
Yeah.
Since they just bought Fox.
Yeah. I don't know why it's called D23. I don't really care to look it up. All I know is that that's the Disney convention name. But we got a Rise of Skywalker trailer. So yeah, I'm pretty happy.
It looks pretty good.
They're taking the Endgame approach and fill it, like they're filling half the trailer with scenes of previous movies.
Yeah, yeah. They're doing like the whole retrospective. This is the end of the, what do you call a 9-movie?
That's a saga.
It's a franchise. A saga?
Yeah.
It's a saga. A non-trilogy?
Nobody's calling it that.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Yeah. 9-movie franchise. 9 trilogy, but with 9. There we go. That's what I'll Google. Trilogy, okay. But with... It really wants me to say anything but 9.
Yeah.
Okay. Math form. Ask Dr. Math. Okay.
Just call it a saga. It's a fucking... It's the Skywalker saga.
Yeah. Wow. I don't think anybody has any idea what it would be called.
That's like, well, what would you call like the Saw franchise? That's 7 movies.
I'd call it just like a franchise. But
is that a septology?
No, but it could go on indefinitely. I think it's a little bit different when there's like this is all of the movies.
That's
the
what
story.
They say. You know, they said that when Return of the Jedi came out. And then we made more.
Right. So it's not a heptology. It's not an octology. It's got to be a nontology.
Nontology. Nobody's calling it a nontology. It's the saga.
I will start calling it a nontology.
What if we just called it a trilogy of trilogies?
The trilogy squared.
Yeah.
Trilogy cubed.
No, trilogy cubed. Yeah. It's a trilogy cubed.
Yeah. Perfect. I'm glad that we settled it.
Yeah.
Wait, but trilogy, a 3 squared is 9. And 3 cubed is 27.
So it'd be trilogy squared. It wouldn't be trilogy cubed.
T squared.
Yeah.
Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Perfect. I don't think we really got anything too new out of this.
We got a couple tidbits that, you know, Disney clearly designed to make the internet talk.
Yeah, what's the deal with this Palpatine thing? What do we think?
I thought the big one, the Palpatine thing, it's going to be some... I have theories, and I hope that there's some stupid bullshit in this movie. Specifically,
I almost guarantee
stupid,
it.
There's gonna be. I want stupid time travel bullshit. Like, I want to learn that when Vader threw Palpatine.
Time travel, no,
there's
okay.
there's going to be time, dude. It's J.J. Abrams. There's going to be time travel. But I want to learn. I want the revelation that when Vader threw Palpatine down the fucking well,
stop.
He like
no.
He got
he
like,
sent him into the future.
Sent him into the future. Where he started plotting all of this. Like,
that is the worst idea. Hopefully. Imagine the pitch meeting where somebody says, well, what if when Vader threw Palpatine down that thing, it actually sent him into the future? And JJ's
exactly.
Like, yeah, yeah, keep going.
Yeah.
No.
Palpatine's what's in the mystery box. Like,
God. Oh, no, I hope not. What about the biggest thing I feel like from the trailer is the end where we see...
Dark Rey
with like a switchblade red lightsaber.
Yeah, that lightsaber look, that I'm sure that the production designers, everybody on the team probably thought it looked super fucking cool. I think it looks dumb as shit. Like, just give her the Darth Maul saber. Like, you don't need a switchblade lightsaber like that when they already did it better in episode 1. Darth Maul's dual lightsaber is so fucking cool. He doesn't need to fucking flick it out for it to work. And it's not like it serves any purpose to have it in the folded position.
Oh, yeah, it takes up less space. You can put it in the overhead compartment on an airplane.
No, you can. The blades retract. They're light.
That's what I mean. It's like the move that Grievous does when he takes like 2 lightsabers and he puts it down when he's fighting Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
it's that one like frame of episode 3. But a lightsaber that also turns into Darth Maul's lightsaber. Yeah. And I guess the big question is this like a Dagobah referencing The Empire Strikes Back? Like a that is Empire, right? That's not Return of the Jedi.
Empire. That's Empire.
It's the Dagobah Darth Vader thing where it's like Luke slices off Darth Vader's head and it's like, oh no, it's me. As a kid, I was like, what? I don't understand. Who is that?
Yeah, I remember watching that and seeing like, what? He just kill himself? Like, what?
Yeah.
Hey, no, it's a metaphor. It's a vision. Like,
It's spooky stuff.
So I think there are two options. I think that's either, that's what this is, or she's a clone. I don't know if I like either of those options.
I feel like the new lightsaber, like the lightsaber is so different that how could it be a like force ghost, not like a like, but like a premonition or something?
Well, I could also see it being like a vision that maybe like Kylo Ren has or something. If he's like looking into the future, he's like, Rey gets turned to the dark side. And like, so, cause I think that this movie is going to be about Kylo Ren's redemption. I think Kylo Ren is the secret main character of this series because he's the only one left with like actual ties to the Skywalker bloodline.
He's the last Skywalker.
He is the last Skywalker. He's going to rise in this movie because it's called The Rise of Skywalker. Unless they do some bullshit where it's like, Rey was Luke's secret daughter the whole time or something. No, I hope they don't. My favorite part about The Last Jedi is the fact that they turned the Empire revelation on its head. And they're like, oh, no, your bloodline doesn't matter at all. Like, your parents were drunks, dead in a ditch. Nobody cares. They're not important.
So here's the other awful theory that Rey is a clone of Palpatine.
Yeah, fuck that. I know that it's like that they pulled it from like some of the old EU stories.
But has any of the EU kind of come into play? Because you're more of an expert on the EU than I am. Has any of it come into play for these last three movies? So far for Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, have we seen kind of anything that besides maybe like Han and Leia having a kid or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, they do have kids in the EU. And I think the closest thing that we've got to like a direct EU reference would be like Luke doesn't go to the dark side, but he clearly has demons now, which is pulled from the EU. Like in the EU, he straight up goes to the dark side and serves under one of the Emperor's clones for a short time. Yeah.
Cool.
But we definitely see more of the EU pulled into like Solo and the cartoon series Rebels and the Clone Wars and all the side stuff. They haven't really pulled from the EU for any of the mainline trilogy stuff.
Right. So I wonder if this will be the moment where it's a big question of what does J.J. Abrams want to do? Because we know he's famously good at not ending things.
Yeah.
So will he end this? Will there be a tone of finality to this, or will it kind of be like a opening up of Pandora's box? Like at the very end, it's like we're rising. Like it's everything's unleashed now. Welcome to 16 more movies. Or is this going to be the end of it?
So I want to believe that he knows he has to end the Skywalker saga. So we're going to see the end of like, you know, maybe Kylo dies. Like, honestly, I'd be okay if all of these characters died and then it was all to save. Like I kind of like what Rian Johnson did with The Last Jedi and hinting at like, oh, the Jedi are still like, they're still new Jedi being born. They just haven't been trained yet. Like with the little kid in the ring in The Last Jedi. And they clearly want to set up like future entries into the Star Wars universe. But I hope that Abrams finishes the Skywalker saga with a semblance of finality, like Endgame did for the Avengers, because, you know, there's still going to be Avengers movies. But I do think Endgame was a very good ending for like that initial saga of 24 movies.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. What do you call that?
That's a saga.
Yeah. So the big question, I guess, that I am thinking of, not the biggest, but was there any talk before that this was going to be like the entire end of the Skywalker saga? I feel like they kind of decided it while they were writing this movie that they were capping off everything, you know, or does it seem because I guess I viewed these as more of a like separate. I viewed the first six as kind of their own thing, and now this was a new thing. But now Abrams is really trying to fold this all in and say this is all the Skywalker saga.
No, I mean, I think Johnson had I think they did have this new trilogy planned as the end of the Skywalker saga for a while. And I think it mainly had to do with the fact that they got these actors back for the most part.
Right.
But they know that.
I mean, all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, with Carrie Fisher's unfortunate passing, they already killed off Han Solo in The Force Awakens. They killed off Luke in The Last Jedi. So,
yeah. What's it going to be like to have Carrie Fisher in the last movie, knowing that all of her scenes were like shot previously?
Yeah,
you know, like that'll be so weird because it's all using old footage from The Last Jedi, right?
Yeah.
And The Force Awakens.
She's not going to be in it very much. I think they're going to be able to do some pretty easy cuts just for hopefully some closure for that character.
Right.
Honestly, I wonder. I bet you I think Leia's going to die in this movie. And I think they're going to kill her off screen. Like, I think she's going to be on a planet that gets blown up by the Death Star 4.0 or whatever the fuck the big doom machine in this movie is going to be.
And she's going to do one of those things where they like they're looking at the camera and then they blink, like they close their eyes and then it blows up.
Yeah.
They're going to Grand Moff Tarkin it. That'd be a good send off. Get blown into space. Honestly, are they going to make another Death Star? Like I want to just talk it for a little bit more because we've talked it to death already. But do you think they're going to do another like Starkiller base type thing? But it's going to be even bigger this time,
dude. I hope not. Like they have to realize at this point, right? That
no, okay. I've said this so many times before, but it doesn't make sense to make anything else when you
It's true. If it is the ultimate weapon,
yeah. Like when you make a nuke and then if you blow a nuke up, you're not going to be like, well, I guess we got to start from square one. No, you're just going to build another nuke, like but probably at least, bigger and better.
At least make it more secure this time. I do not think though that they're going to make another star. And I think that again, because The Last Jedi left off, like I love how The Last Jedi ends because it gives this movie so much freedom. And I'm going to be so disappointed if they do just rehash episode 4 and episode 6 and episode 7 again. But I like to believe that because Kylo, I don't think he doesn't really want to rule the First Order either. And like he's not I don't think he really wants galactic domination.
What he's does really, he want? Yeah,
he's just fucked up. He just wants acceptance from somebody. And really, well, what I think he wants Rey to join him. Like, I mean, that's one of the things I think that he'll be able to dominate the galaxy, but he's still going to be unfulfilled because I think he wants Rey to join him. He wants her to be his pupil because he's seeking he wants actualization through that connection. And I think that was established well in The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I think it seemed kind of like he wanted to rule with her, and I still can't really figure out why, other than she must be like she's powerful, or like I feel like they don't really say why other than like, hey, you're another powerful Force user and you've beaten me, so now obviously when we team up we can kill everyone, like let's take the power for ourselves. But now that Rey is kind of like fuck you, is his whole purpose just to kill Rey?
I don't know. I don't think he's gonna kill Rey. I think he is still going to try to like woo her and try to seduce her to the dark side. But I think, honestly, I could also see him just going on a fucking warpath. Like, he's not like, I'm not about galactic order or domination. He's just going to rage.
Yeah.
Which I would also be very down with. Like, and just, I think of that scene in The Last Jedi when he sees Luke and he's just like, fire everything. Like,
yeah, kill that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Who tried to kill me when I was a kid.
Yeah. I think we're going to see some, I think, what's his name? Domhnall Gleeson. I forget the character's name.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he's going to be like the ruler of the First Order. And Kylo is just going to be off doing whatever the fuck with the Knights of Ren. I think we're going to get the Knights of Ren in this movie because I know that everybody was asking for them in The Last Jedi and we didn't see any of them. So I think he's just going to be off like hunting her with the Knights of Ren and being like, hey, come join my side. I got some cool shit. Like,
yeah. And then she's going to murder this,
I found Palpatine. Yeah.
Yeah. She is really like 0-7 right now.
Yeah.
Or 7-0. She's really kicking ass.
Oh yeah. Yeah, she hasn't she hasn't lost yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess she got captured by Kylo in the first.
Yeah, but she was able to get out of that really easily.
Yeah.
And then she beat him in a lightsaber fight.
True. After he got the shit blown out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's move away from one Disney property to another Disney property. Yeah. Well, I guess no longer Disney property.
Exactly.
Spider-Man is out of the MCU after a profit-sharing negotiation breakdown between Sony and Marvel. The story is Marvel was getting 5% of the first dollar gross in as a part of every Spider-Man movie to co-produce, and Kevin Feige to give his input on these Sony Spider-Man movies. And now they went back and they said, hey, we actually want half the box office.
Yeah.
And Sony was like, okay, get fucked. It was apparently so egregious that Sony didn't even come with a counteroffer. They're like, yeah, no thanks. We got it from here, guys.
I mean, I think that was honestly the smart thing for Sony to do.
This is a very smart move for Sony. Because they lose literally nothing besides Feige.
I don't blame them for being this confident, but were they really that confident that they were like, hey, give us 50% or the deal's off? Did they think that they were going to get a counteroffer, or that Sony was going to like oblige them, or what? Like,
I think they thought they were probably going to get a counteroffer or something like that. But I think another part of the story was that Sony was saying that Kevin Feige was going to be too busy with everything else to co-produce like a property that Marvel didn't own, especially now that they've got Fantastic Four and X-Men, that it was just going to be sidelined. So they weren't really going to get the same production stuff. And so Marvel was basically saying, hey, as a part of the only reason this movie's making money is because it's a part of the MCU. So give us half of it, or when you make your next movie, it'll be like literally nothing.
Yeah, which I don't think is true at all.
No, yeah. And we can see that with Venom, that they don't even need to make a good movie to make money.
I mean, just imagine how much money the next Spider-Man is going to make, because I think it's inevitable that Venom is going to be a part of the next Spider-Man, or Spider-Man vice versa will be like in Venom 2, which I would also be very down with. I would love to see Tom Holland pop up between Woody Harrelson and Tom Hardy.
Yeah. So and this also makes it interesting because, I mean, I feel like Sony's not going to leave this like huge amount of money on the table by letting any of these movies be R.
Yeah.
But how do you make a Carnage movie where that's not R? I guess.
You make it bad. Like,
there's always that option.
That's it.
Wasn't the whole reason that Venom was pitched as a R-rated movie.
It was shot as an R-rated movie.
Yeah. And then they cut out the R-rated parts to make it possible that Venom could be rolled into the MCU at one point, maybe.
No,
within the MCU.
It's not that. That's not what happened. What happened was midway through production, they found a Chinese investor, Tencent Studios, that wanted in because they were like, hey, think about how much fucking money this movie could make in China. Like, we only import like 6 American movies a year. Y'all could be one of them, but look at how big our fucking box office is. So they edited the movie down for a Chinese audience, which was a huge bummer. But what I'm really hoping is that Spider-Man and like having the rights to Spider-Man exclusively again will give them enough of a confidence boost to make Venom rated R, and then just throw Spider-Man in there. Be like, hey, we'll make up the lost Chinese dollar by pulling in Tom Holland and marketing this as like an R-rated Spider-Man Venom crossover with Carnage. I know that's a pipe dream and it's never going to happen, but goddamn, I would love that, because you cannot do a Carnage movie PG-13.
Well, so do you think that Marvel is going to try and really push out Sony from entering the Chinese market? Like, but they don't really have anything on their slate coming up.
Yeah.
So I think Sony can really slide right in there and be,
it's
like, hey, here's our Spider-Man, here's Venom.
Exactly.
Like, 6 movies a year is a lot of movies considering like what movies crossed over this year. Oh, it's like, and six is not a hard number either, right?
Yeah. But I was going to say also, don't forget about Sony's Morbius with Jared Leto.
True. Yeah. That's what they have all these things planned for the Spider-Man universe that I think they're banking on. Oh, Venom made money, but people know about Venom. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they don't. Do any Chinese like people know about Venom? Do you think they do?
They know about Venom. What the thing is, the marketing in China for Venom was, I think, really cute because they essentially marketed Venom as like the ultimate boyfriend, which is adorable. Like, after this, go look up some Chinese marketing for Venom. But it's kind of adorable, and I love it because, you know, Venom, he's a thick boy in that movie. So they know that that's
true,
that's how you push it.
But there's definitely some gay subtext in Venom, too.
So it's so gay. We talked about that in the episode. Go back and listen to our fucking Venom episode.
But isn't like homosexuality illegal in China or something? Like,
yes, it is. Well, I don't know. I think it's frowned upon. It's definitely not as friendly.
Right. Yeah. California, Hollywood is definitely bigger on gay stuff than China. And Hollywood is not that big on gay stuff, actually.
Yeah.
This year was the first year we had a gay sex scene in a major motion in a major production company's movie.
What was it?
Rocket Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Fascinating.
First gay sex scene in a major studio film.
Damn, that's wild. But yeah,
it's 2019.
The gay subtext in Venom, I don't think will be picked up by a majority of the Chinese audience, or at least not the Chinese government.
Winnie the Pooh.
I don't think Winnie the Pooh understands that comic book media can even have subtext.
Yeah, true.
So
but that's, it'll be interesting when, will Marvel be forced to, like, did Endgame have that gay character cut out at the very beginning? You know, it's one of the Russo brothers about his husband who.
In China, I think it did. I'm pretty sure it did. I remember hearing about that.
God, it's so weird. Like, it's really like, it's very strange to see American art be bent to the palette
the will of money.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not surprising, but especially for a notoriously uncompromising, socially conservative company like Disney.
Yeah. Man, I will say, I think I'm most excited about this news because I want to see Tom Holland in the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah. I wonder what this new Spider-Man movie is going to look like. That's really, and I wonder how the MCU is going to handle, because they were really setting Spidey up to be the next Iron Man.
Which is why I find it hilarious that they chose now to renegotiate the deal with Sony. Like, after you put all your all your fucking eggs into this Spider-Man basket, set him up as the new Iron Man, you're going to lose it all. Whatever. They're gonna write him off. They're going to kill him off screen somehow. They're probably going to, maybe they'll make a joke about it. I was also wondering, with the end of Spider-Man revealing that everybody knows he's Peter Parker now, the one thing I could think of was Doctor Strange being like, oh, I'm just going to like whisk him away to another parallel universe where that secret wasn't revealed. And that way we don't have to worry about him interacting with any of our characters at all.
That'd be so weird. I'm interested to see how they handle it. But there's not another like MCU movie for another few years, right?
Or
I guess it's next year.
Yeah, so the next one is Black Widow, which is, I think, in May of next year.
Okay.
Which has nothing to do with Spider-Man, so they're good there.
Right. Or the MCU, really. It's a prequel, right?
It is, yeah. But it does have David Harbour, so I'm going to see it.
Ooh.
And then after that is The Eternals, which is set in space. So
yeah,
no Spider-Man.
Yeah.
All these movies, like, none of them really, I think, intertwine with Spider-Man at all. So maybe they did see it coming, and they were just like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, but there's no Avengers movie on the docket. That's
not
what's
for
also weird.
Yeah, not for Phase 4. I think it's smart for them to not have an Avengers movie. Like, make the new Avengers, like, the next Avengers, the new Avengers, whatever they want to call it, make it another event. Like, make me wait 5 years for it.
I'll be dead before the next Avengers movie comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's transition from one of thousands of MCU conversations we've had on this podcast to a weirder topic. It's the toss-up of the week, and it's that it was announced that there's going to be a fourth Matrix movie. Fourth being, if you don't count the Animatrix as a mainstream, as a Matrix movie. And it's, they've got Keanu Reeves, they've got Carrie Ann Moss, who played Trinity, and they have Lana Wachowski. They don't have Lily, they only have Lana.
Wait, really? It's not both Wachowskis?
Correct. No, it's not both Wachowskis.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I'm very interested to know, A, why Lana and Lily broke up after working together for the last 20 years. And I have no idea what this movie could be. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, which is why this is a toss-up. I mean, I'm excited this is happening. I'll watch anything that the Wachowskis put out. But yeah, like, I wonder if they're just going to reveal that the original Matrix trilogy was just a simulation within a simulation.
Oh, yeah, if it, like, restarts. But he's older, like... They're all older now, so yeah. It has to be in the same universe, right? Like,
maybe.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I really have no idea.
I just want to know more at this point. Like, I'm excited that it's happening and that it's like it's not a reboot; it's a direct sequel. But yeah. I'm very confused as to how they're going to do this.
There must be some. I mean, they must have pitched something. There must be a plot outline that exists somewhere to get Keanu Reeves to sign on.
Keanu Reeves will do whatever.
You think so? I mean, he just did Bill and Ted 3.
Yeah.
But, like, this is... I don't know. I feel like it was so much more of a firmed-up trilogy.
Yeah.
With a definitive ending that to be like, hey, guys, come back and make a shit ton of money.
Well, I think it's
is
also
an easy call to answer.
Nobody really liked how this trilogy wrapped up.
True.
Probably. Yeah. Probably Keanu included. So I wonder if he was, like, you know, jumping at the opportunity to...
Yeah, like, let's do another go of it.
Yeah, let's see if we can end it properly. If this is even so... Like, I don't even know if this is supposed to be the launch of a new trilogy. I don't know if they're pulling a Star Wars here.
Yeah, that would be weird. It'll be a prequel.
I wonder if they got Lawrence Fishburne back.
I mean, I haven't heard that they have, but what if this is, like, an alternate reality where he takes the blue pill?
Oh, my God.
And it's like...
It's just like, it's just Office Space.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. Like,
I would kind of love that if it's just Keanu working his day job and it's Carrie Ann Moss, like, yelling at him, like, take the fucking red pill, man. Like, you got to come out of this dream world. You got to save us. And he's just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Listen, scary leather lady.
Yeah.
The leather is going to be weird. Do you think they're going to keep the leather?
I hope so. Like, I don't know if you can make a Matrix movie without that aesthetic. Like, yeah. I want the leather. I want the trench coats, you know?
The weird, spider-rimmed, like, sunglasses, whatever those are called.
Hell, like, yes.
It'll be...
I think we're far enough into this current century to, like, be nostalgic about 1999. And, like, kind of like how, you know, like, the 80s aesthetic is becoming... I mean, I think it's at its peak. Right now.
Right. We're starting to go more in the 90s.
Exactly. I think that this is what this is capitalizing on. And also, we don't know when this is happening yet, right? We just know that it's been announced.
Yeah. Production will begin in 2020.
Okay. So probably a 2021 release date?
Yeah. I mean, depending on how long do you think this movie will... I have no idea, like, how much money this is getting, what the production schedule is going to be like.
I'm excited, though.
Yeah.
Very, me too. Very curious. I heard they signed on a... They got a new DP for this one, I think, too. But I can't remember. I remember it's someone big, but I can't remember what his name is.
Is the old DP, like, dead? Like,
no. I don't think so.
Yeah. I'm okay. I'm just very interested. Yeah. So it's written by Alexander Heeman and David Mitchell, as well as Lana Wachowski.
Okay, so the cinematographer, I'm looking it up. His name is John Toll, and he did the cinematography for Tropic Thunder.
Oh. Cool.
Yeah, but so this is not the... Wait, didn't Bill Pope do the cinematography for the Matrix trilogy?
Maybe. I honestly don't know too much about that.
Oh, yeah. You're not a real Matrix fan, huh?
No, yeah, I guess not. he did those three movies.
Nice. Glad I know my TPs, my DPs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, oh, Bill, he also did Baby Driver.
Yeah, Bill Pope is he's a name.
Yeah, he does stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's. This is actually a good transition because Hugo Weaving is in the Matrix movies as Agent Smith, and his niece Samara Weaving is in the movie that we saw. Yeah, we haven't said what movie we saw this week. It's Ready or Not, the dark comedy. It's a horror thriller.
It's a horror comedy.
Yeah,
I think.
I would call it that. It's not very scary.
No,
it's more thriller-y, but it's got the horror like vibes.
Yeah,
and kind of the gore. So this movie, and by the way, as a reminder, this is a spoilers podcast. So if you don't want this movie spoiled, which I don't know if there's that much to get spoiled.
I don't think there is either. I don't think there's not like the premise of the movie's real simple. There's no twists, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the movie stars Samara Weaving as a newlywed who becomes hunted by her spouse's family as a part of their wedding night ritual. And here's the thing. She doesn't know what's going to happen, but her whole family does.
Yeah.
So her new family, at least. So, yeah, it's basically like the hide and go seek, and they try and kill her. And shenanigans are aplomb. There's no one really famous in this movie besides Andy McDowell, I'd say. Would you say Adam Brody is famous enough to be a person?
No, but I do recognize his face from things. I didn't know his name, though. So I wouldn't really call him a big name.
Yeah, he has not been in too many things. Yeah.
I recognized him, I think, because I'm pretty sure, didn't he play the concierge in Bad Times at the El Royale?
No, I think a smaller, more Tom Holland looking motherfucker played that guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, this guy's 39. Wow, this guy's old.
He doesn't look that old.
No, he doesn't. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, he looked like he was like 20. How old is Samara?
Wait, no. Adam Brody plays Daniel. He plays the brother. Mark O'Brien plays the other guy, who is the guy in Bad Times at the LA. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was talking about the husband.
Yeah. Okay. So let's kind of go through what. So this movie is very interesting, very self-contained. First of all, I like this movie.
Yeah, I like this movie a lot too.
Yeah, I don't know if I liked it a lot, but it was enjoyable. It was more entertaining than the average What is this movie? Like,
yeah,
you know, the regular movie of the week that's just got some boring premise. This is a movie that I'm like, I don't really know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
It keeps kind of throwing curveballs out at you. Some of the things I really like about this, I think Samara Weaving is actually pretty good. She does like a good job. All like the family is not doing a whole lot, but they're all like playing their characters pretty well. You've got this Mark O'Brien motherfucker as the guy who doesn't want to be part of the family, who's getting married and is like, man, I hope they don't. So what's we got to build out the premise a little bit more. We got to describe the plot.
Yeah.
So basically she and him are getting married. They're getting married at his family's home. They're fucking rich. They made their money off of gaming, not like video games, but like card games and board games and stuff like that. And they're somehow rich still. Mm-hmm. So as a part of the ritual that happens when someone gets married, they have like a little game where they take a card and they put it in a box, and then the card gets spit out, and on the card is written a game. And most of the games are apparently fun. They've got like chess and checkers and stuff like that. But then if you pick the one card called hide and seek, it's not actually hide and seek. It's hide and go get murdered.
Yeah. It's the most dangerous game.
Yes, exactly. It's the most dangerous game, but with one person and a whole family. Yeah. That's the basic premise of the movie. and it's got a little bit of wit. It's got some good bits. My favorite bit being the constant, the coked out sister.
Yes.
Who keeps accidentally killing the help.
Help. Yeah.
In just very gruesome ways.
Yes. I think that is one of the things I enjoyed about this movie is the... I like the violence of it. I was pretty pleased. I'm glad it didn't pull its punches.
Yeah, no like dumb jump scares either, too. Like, it was just a very kind of like cut and dry. That's why I felt like it was more like a thriller. I was never on the like my seat being like, oh, man, what spooky thing's going to happen? I was just like, all right, what fucked up thing am I going to see next?
Yeah, I did really like it, because I think it does a great job at setting up Samara Weaving. Like, this, you want her to brutalize this entire family.
Right. And my main point of criticism for the movie is that she doesn't.
Yeah, she
they
brutalizes
only kill
like
servants. Yeah.
Yeah, they kill a couple servants, and she like she burns that dude's face. But yeah, for the most part, the family members kill each other, or they explode at the end.
Yeah. So the reason they have to do this game is that if they don't, then apparently they all die when sunrise comes.
Yeah.
And I love how everyone is just like on board with it. They're like, yeah, sure, I guess.
Yeah.
Even the people who married into the family.
Yeah.
I guess they were told at one point, and they've got like this the slightly chubby like the husband of the sister of the coked out sister.
Yeah.
Who's just like, I'm just here along for the ride. And then the older brother, played by Adam Brody, his wife is, I guess, just a gold digger. Like, she's like, I just want to be rich.
Yeah,
I guess
all these people are just they're just attracted to the money.
Yeah. And then the dad and the mom, the dad is some guy and the mom is Andie MacDowell for some reason. I don't know why she's in this movie, you know, like why? I don't know.
Money.
Yeah, money, I guess. But I feel like, is she really just not getting a whole lot of work?
I don't know. Maybe she just liked the premise, but she could also, like, you know, maybe she isn't getting that much work. Or maybe she wanted a new car, you know?
True. Yeah. I mean, maybe she felt upset that her daughter was in the new Tarantino movie. So she's like, I got to do something cool.
Yeah, she was afraid to be shown up. Yeah.
Yeah. But what are... So... This movie kind of, it has a really good pacing. I think that's probably the best part about it.
Yeah.
Is that it's very like, this happens and this happens, and you're never feeling like a really strong lull. There are some like questionable like periods where people are like jumping and they kind of like make a leap to get there. Like when she briefly escapes from the crazy butler.
Mm-hmm.
That like I love that the help is like all on board with it too.
Yeah,
everyone's just like, yeah, this is what this family does, and this so, is why like, we get paid.
I wonder, does the help die if they fail too?
I feel like because they're not a part of the family.
Okay,
right.
That's what I assumed, but I do also really love that like every time that the coked out girl killed one of the help, they were just like, well, does this count? Like,
yeah, exactly. Can we? Yeah, wait. Are we done?
Yeah.
And they're always like, "Oh man, I really liked her." Like,
yeah, she was my favorite. Like,
yeah, that was that's really funny. But there, yeah. So a lot of the violence is played for laughs, and man, my theater was really into it.
Yeah,
they were really into all of the violence.
Yeah,
anything that was not happening to Grace, which is Samara Weaving's character. Anytime like stuff was happening to her, we were all like, ew, yeah.
And that's definitely a conscious decision on the filmmaker's part. Where like you're meant to cringe, like you empathize with this character and pretty much this character alone. And the way that they shoot all of the violence that is inflicted upon her feels a lot more graphic and heavier.
Sadistic. Yeah.
Than like any of the violence. Because definitely, clearly worse things happen to other people in the movie. But it's always, like you said, played for laughs. Whereas I was never really laughing. Like when she, when that kid shot her in the hand, I love that she punched him. Like I wish that she just killed him outright. But boy, when she had to climb up out of the fucking body pit and like put her,
the nail through the hole in her hand,
pull herself up, like, oh, this is rough.
Yeah. My whole theater was like, ooh. Very not having it, or when she has to push herself through the fence and it like cuts along her back, and you're just like,
yeah,
ooh, God.
And then I love how there's all the fuck rich people messaging in this movie.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of fuck rich people. And then there's like the weird, I feel like there is a social context not a social context, but a social message that is being lost a little bit. Mm-hmm. Besides, like, fuck these rich people. Something to do with like her wedding dress and like women, and I don't know. I feel like there's something else that they're trying to do here that is really not coming out very well.
Yeah,
like it's getting mixed. Like as time goes on, she keeps tearing off more of like her wedding dress, but not like in a provocative sexual way.
Yeah,
like in a way like I am like using this to act, like help me actually do something.
Yeah, but I also think that I think you could very easily like read this movie that way, but I also think it's just a practical decision.
Yeah, just like, oh, a wedding dress has a lot of material on it.
Yeah,
she can use it, you know.
Yeah,
for reasons.
Yeah. I think one of the problems that I had with this movie was at the end. Like, I guess the biggest twist that happens in this movie is that her husband, I guess they're husband and wife now because they actually technically get married.
Right. Yeah.
He just switches sides at the very end after trying so hard to save her. He's just like,
yeah.
You know what? No, I'm gonna sacrifice you anyway. Like,
right.
I don't know if I buy that. Like, I feel like you needed a climax to the movie, so you made this happen.
So the question, I mean, I could see that was probably gonna happen eventually, but I think what they tried to have us think is that he's supposed to think that she killed his brother, and now like, which she didn't do. His stupid wife.
But she did kill his mom, which is
right,
great.
Brutally, yeah. And just like, ooh, yeah, with a box. And so for him to be like, okay, cool, I love my brother. Oh, he's dead now. Oh, wait, you also beat my mom to death? I guess I'm crazy now. And then...
But it's like...
But I didn't see, like, why... Because he was obviously like, fuck these people, they deserve to die.
Exactly.
Like... And so I don't like his. I think if his brother had gotten something out, been like, save her or something like that, like it could have wrapped up a little bit better. And had maybe I think they're the jump from, oh, we've got her again, like to, oh, we're like home free pretty much. Like you've killed so many people.
Yeah.
And actually, we've got you back again is a pretty huge jump for a payoff that could probably still have happened. With a little bit of tweaking.
Yeah.
Because I think the whole payoff is, you know, they're tying her down and they're like, oh, we're going to do it. And then she somehow breaks free and then it's dawn and nothing happens.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. Where they hold that for like,
yeah, that was such a good fucking beat when like they're just all standing in the sun and they're like, oh, I'm going to fucking die. And then they're just like, well, now what?
Yeah. Also, yeah, there's a moment early on where not early on, but in the last like maybe 20 minutes where Grace throws fire onto like a curtain or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the house sets on fire and that burns for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like and the whole mansion is still like doing fine. Those drapes would go up so fast.
Yeah, it's a big everything. It's a big mansion, though.
Yeah, big wooden, like, old mansion with a lot of bric-a-brac and, like, candles and shit. I feel like that place would go up way faster.
Probably, but it could have been in a very far room, you know? I don't know. I don't think it was really that long of a time, too, because, like, that was... She threw the flame onto the curtain, like, after their brother poisons the family, and they all start, like, shitting themselves. After the first sacrifice attempt. And like they got her pretty quickly after that. Like she didn't really have a whole lot of time to hide between the first and second sacrifice attempt. So
true. Yeah. And then one other weird moment before we talk about the ending. When she's escaping from the butler dude,
mm-hmm.
who's trying to chase her for no reason. And she's got like his car. Like she beats the snot out of him. Like, yeah, I get that. And then she's driving away for what feels like a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
At a good like speed.
She's flooring.
And she has this
like
and she's got this conversation with like the OnStar guy, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, this car has been reported stolen. We have to shut it off now. And it's like, no, like you're killing me. Like, fuck you, dude. Fuck you. Fuck you.
I got one more thing to ask you. He's like, what's that? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. He's like, well, okay then.
Yeah. Yeah. Samara Weaving's performance is great in this movie.
Like, yeah, she's really funny and really heartfelt. Like she really gets, she's got a good scream.
Yeah.
And But then he shows up like right there.
Yeah.
Like he was fucking booking it.
He was
like,
sprinting this entire time. Like,
and he's still in his butler uniform and he's got like the whole, just like, what?
Right,
like,
after how being fast choked is out. This yeah. guy?
Yeah. This, yeah, this guy's like, and why did, yeah, she should have just like run over him, obviously.
That's what I thought she was going to do. Like, oh, this framing looks like she's just going to fucking hit him, or at least like take his gun and shoot him or something. But
yeah, something like that. And I get fear or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right, I don't know about that. Other than that, I think the movie is pretty tight. It's enjoyable. It's funny. It's maybe not as funny as it maybe set out to be, but it is, and not as like, it doesn't really go too far in either direction. It's not like a super thriller. And not like a super funny, like horror comedy, dark comedy type thing.
Yeah.
It plays it kind of like one of those, like not to go back to like Die Hard, but one of those action movies that's got humor in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a comedy, you know, or like Midsommar kind of, where you've got the humor elements. I thought Midsommar was funnier and scarier than this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's set out to be as scary as something like Midsommar or as gruesome.
Yeah.
But I think that the way that the characters, obviously there's only one character that was really built out and the rest was just like bumbling morons,
yeah,
pretty much, who did just like coke or like were caricatures.
People who were supposed to die.
Yeah. But a few of the characters felt like dead weight, especially the coked out sister's husband. He's kind of like, how do I didn't think it was funny, like how to use your crossbow.
Yeah, when he's sitting in the bathroom looking up the YouTube tutorials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. But then Daniel's sister, wife, kind of useless. And the aunt, really all bark and no bite.
Yeah.
Just like this crazy homicidal bitch.
You kind of get it because like they reveal that, oh, she was the girl from like the intro of the movie. The last time they played hide and seek. I'm like, OK, cool. But I thought they were going to go further with that. Like, I thought it was going to have more significance in the overall story. And then they talk about how like the husband was supposed to be like, maybe he's supposed to take over the family or whatever. I'm like, all right, so why are you planting these seeds to not follow up on them in any way?
Right. It seems like there was a lot that was set up on the table that were not fulfilled by the end.
Yeah.
Which happens, you know, that's how life is. But yeah. I like, for a movie that's so tight, I would have thought that, and it's not long either. It's like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You thought like, I honestly could have taken a little bit more probably. Like if they wanted to build it out a little bit more.
Same.
And actually execute on the things that they set up, I would have enjoyed that.
Same. And again, I just wish that she was able to brutalize more of the family members, because she's such an easy protagonist to root for.
And they are so easy to root against. I'm
exactly.
Like, fuck these people. Like, dude, fuck these crazy devil worshiping rich people.
Beaten, like, and that's the thing. Like, I'll watch any movie where they just kill rich people.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great movie premise. But
make the deadliest game, but reverse.
Exactly. I was cheering for her as she was beating the hell out of the mom with like the actual game box that she pulled the card out of. Like, this is fucking cool. I do like too, at the very end, after you know, they don't kill her, and then dawn rises, and then they all just explode. I liked that you got a little flash of like Satan sitting in the chair and just like nodding at her.
Yeah, and just like, oh, Jesus
and
Christ.
She's like, what the? Yes, Jesus.
Yeah, and then the image of her walking out of the mansion while it's slowly burning up, and the cops and the fire department comes,
and she's just like
covered
smoking,
in blood.
Smoking the mom's cigarettes. Like, this is fucking, this is cool. Like, she's earned this moment.
What did
moment.
She say? Yeah, what did she say at the very end too?
She made an in-laws joke. They're like, what happened here? And she's just like, in-laws. Yeah. Like,
smash cut to black.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this is a really fun movie. And this is definitely like what's on HBO? Like, this is up there with like The Accountant in terms of like movies that maybe aren't like that good, but like entertaining to watch.
I don't even remember. I watched The Accountant, but I don't remember watching The Accountant.
Yeah, I'm sure that in a year we won't remember watching this movie either.
Exactly. But I will say I definitely don't regret buying my theater ticket to see this movie. And like, if you're into violence, yeah, go see it. If you're into violent comedy, I think it's worth checking out in theaters.
Yeah, I have the Regal Unlimited, so
this is the perfect movie to see if you have a subscription. If you're lucky enough to live in one of those areas with either like a AMC or a Regal.
Yeah, and it's like an original movie those types of movies don't exist anymore.
Yeah, this is
Fox Searchlight.
This is a Disney movie.
Technically, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this movie
Grace is
a
Disney princess.
She is, dude. She's my favorite Disney princess now. She's right up there with Mulan.
Mulan and Princess Leia.
Yes.
Yeah. What are we reviewing next week, Rob? I have no idea what's even coming out next week. We'll be together.
We will be together. There's not a whole lot of new stuff coming out next week, but I think Angel Has Fallen deserves its own episode. This is an important movie.
How are no movies coming out Labor Day weekend?
Yeah, support Gerard Butler. Maybe it's because historically Labor Day weekend has been like a real bad movie weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it must be, right?
Yeah.
What's Bennett's rough. War? That's the only thing that's got a nationwide release.
What
next year,
the fuck is next, Bennett's War?
That's what I... Yes, exactly. What is it?
I don't know. I can't answer that question for you.
Marshall Bennett is a young soldier with the Army Motorcycle Unit, who survives an IED explosion in combat overseas and is medically discharged with a broken back and leg and sent back to the U.S. When he gets home to his family farm, he discovers that his dad, Cal Bennett, is behind in the mortgage and may lose the farm. Against all odds, Marshall Bennett pledges to help his family by the only means he knows how, as a motocross racer.
Yeah, this is a Disney Channel original movie. What? This is motocross.
This is motocross, this is motocross mixed with the one where he's like a derby racer, but he's got no legs. No, he has legs, but he's paralyzed. Do you remember this movie?
No.
The Disney Channel original movie?
No.
And they have the whole scene where they're like, we got to figure out like which side of the street is better for you to be on. So let's take all these tennis balls and throw them down. And
I do. Yeah. Okay.
You remember this now?
Yeah.
And they almost disqualify him because he has a handbrake.
Yeah, I do remember this. They're like, he can't use his legs. He has to use his handbrake.
Yeah, and it's like, sorry, you're disqualified because
you're paralyzed.
The ADA doesn't apply.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is definitely, whatever. Do you think with Disney Plus, we're going to start getting Disney Channel, Disney original movies again?
Yes. I mean, they're making a Lizzie McGuire movie.
Right, yeah, I guess that counts.
Yeah, it's happening. Plus, I don't think ever stopped making DCOM movies.
I bet they didn't.
I think you're right.
Well, I guess we'll figure out what we're going to do next. We might do Angel Has Fallen. We might do something else. Yeah, who knows? Yeah, we'll have a whole bunch of boys together. So I'm sure we can figure something out.
Boys night.
Yeah, but until next week, our nuts.
Yeah.
I was searching for the back of my mind. Like, wait, what do we call these people get nuts?
Nuts,
we call
them nuts. Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Nuts, of course, yes. All right, well, nuts, until next week, it's been real.
Bye.
Bye.